The peacemaker himself, huh? Warrior. Man, I get courage just looking at you. Huh? Thanks, man. He's a good friend. He's a good friend. Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me? Mic check. We're good. Great to be here. Start of a big week, isn't it? Take a deep breath. Big week, Christmas morning, right? Christmas morning is coming. We have anticipation for this week, don't we? We do. I have a few words to share. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this place, all these people coming in on a Sunday evening. Thank you for just an amazing day already, the services here in Baltimore and really all around the world. We just pray that people just come in the next few days. Lord, keep them safe, get them here, provide for them housing, food, transportation, whatever it is. And we really just pray that this week we have an expectation that you're going to speak to us personally and that you will deliver us, you will speak words of wisdom to us, you will speak to the deep parts of us that really need a word, Father. Just bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And then if we turn to Joshua chapter 10, in verse 16. This is a story in the book of Joshua. The children of Israel are going into the promised land, and there's enemies in the territory. There are people that are living in cities that are walled cities, and the Jewish people have a word from God to go into this land and to take these people out because this is their land, and it's been rightfully given to them by God. But you have to think the Jewish people are very weak. They are, God chose them not because of their strength, but actually because of their weakness. These are people that do not have military experience. These are people that do not have weapons. They do not have great strength. But God has given them a word, and he has spoken to Joshua directly, and he has told Joshua, wherever your foot shall place, this is the land that I have given. So I want you to go through all of this land and take it. But they meet this enemy, and there's five kings that come against the children of Israel and deceive them. But the Jewish people go after these kings, and it says in verse 16, but these five kings had fled and hid themselves in a cave. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave. So Joshua said, roll the large stone against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. And do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack the rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord God has delivered them into your hand. So the children of Israel go out and they defeat the enemies. And then these five kings, these powerful, powerful men, are still in this cave that is keeping them hostage. And so the children of Israel go out, they defeat the enemies. And then their captains, these kings, are in the cave. And in verse 23, and they did so, or verse 22, then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought out those five kings to Joshua from the cave. And it goes through the list of all of these great kings. Verse 24, so it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and they put their feet on the necks of the kings. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, and be of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So, you know, the first verse that we read in Proverbs chapter 21 or 24, verse 6, it's that by wise counsel you will wage your own war. You know, we come to this convention and we're coming from different places, we're coming from different walks of life, different ministries, different workplaces, different relationships. But we're coming to a place where we're going to hear wise counsel this week. We're coming to a place where God is really going to speak to us. And what is he speaking to us about? He's maybe speaking to us in a personal way about maybe my own struggle. Maybe he's speaking to me about my own failure, my own weakness. He could be speaking to me about my own burden that I have in my life. But he's really speaking to me so that I can wage war. And really, life is not a life that is passive. It's not indifferent. It's not a life that I'm just smooth sailing down the road. But we all know, and we all gather as believers, and we know that life can be very hard. We know that life can be very difficult. It can be filled with many disappointments. But God has said that in the place of wise counsel, that I will teach you how to wage war. And this picture that we see in the book of Joshua, and I love the book because it's a picture of us as a believer, not mighty, not strong, like Paul says to the Corinthians. He has not chosen the great and wise and powerful things of the world, but he has chosen actually the weak things of the world to confound the wise. And here we see the Jewish people, they are the weak things of the world, but they are marching into enemy territory, and God is giving them great victory. And the amazing truth of this is that God gives them victory, and he wants them to put their feet on the necks of their enemies and to declare how great God is. He wants to show the strength of who he is through a weak vessel. And many of us, you know, we are weak vessels. We know it. There's no doubt about it. But we have a great God. And how do we wage war? But we see in the book of Revelation, we see in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, that they have overcome and they conquered by the blood of the Lamb. What are we going to be hearing this week? Is it self-help? Is it some sort of strategy to make yourself better? But we're going to hear about our great God and what he has done for us. That we are going to learn, and we already know it, but we need to be refreshed in it. That all the battles that I am going to encounter in my life are really a battle that God has ordained so that I can have the power of God in my life so that I actually can put my foot on the neck of that situation. If it be sin, if it be unbelief, if it be addiction, if it be relationship problems, if it be my boss, if it be whatever it is, we all have a war that we want to wage in. And God has called us to wage in the battle, but he says, don't do it by your own strength. Don't do it by your own wisdom. Don't do it by your own cleverness, but do it by the blood of the Lamb. And what does that mean? It means that Christ has died and he has made me perfectly clean. He has forgiven me. He has given me a communication line to my Heavenly Father. And my Heavenly Father, it is his good pleasure to give me these things in life and these great victories. And I just love this picture that these little Jewish people are just going into this great land. And here they are, and they're just thinking with their feet on the necks of these great kings who had these amazing castles or palaces or whatever it was. And here's this little Jewish man, and he is so weak, maybe. He's been in the wilderness for so many years, and now he is in this land with no sword, with no spear, with no knife, but simply by the power of God, he puts his foot on the neck, and he says, how could this happen? How could it happen? How could this be? But it's by the strength of God. Why does God use us to glorify him? Why does God give us these victories in life? Is it so that we can have an easier life? No, it's to glorify him. And we need to know that our God is a God that will fight for us, and he has already finished the work, and he has won the battle, and we need to just reckon upon it by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and this is what we're going to be hearing this week. Words of faith, words of wisdom. And I just believe for all of us, for me personally, I just believe that this week I want to hear something that will really speak to my heart and say something like, you can have victory in this area because God is more powerful than the flesh. He is more powerful than the devil. He is more powerful than the world. And he has given us the victory. And all we need to do is just walk in it. And when we walk in it, we're like the Jewish people saying, how are these walls falling? How are these kings under our feet? How are we dwelling in this land that was filled with so many enemies? This is so easy because God is working for us. Amen. Amen. Oh, we gotta pray too for the offering. So, dear Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this expectation that we have coming up this week. That you have given us the victory. That your Son has died on the cross to give us his victory, Father. And we want to hear about it. We want to learn about it. We want to hear it again and again. And we want to experience it in life, Lord. And also, we just pray for the offering tonight. We just pray that you'll just open our hearts to give and to give just with a grateful heart, Father, before you. We just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just pray for a second before we proceed to the next thing in our service. Lord, thank you for those words, that exhortation to be still, and for the words from the message we just heard about spiritual victory, the unseen battle, and our involvement in it. Please lead us, Lord, during this next time by your Holy Spirit. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We usually do our time of prayer and praise after the service on some Sunday nights, but tonight we're going to do it during the service. If you have children in the nursery, don't be nervous about that, because we'll let you know when the service itself is finished so you can get your children. But the time of prayer and praise will continue on after that for those who would like to stay. But this is our service, which will continue until that moment is indicated to go and get children. And just an encouragement about this time of prayer and praise, I'd just like to share a few things. First of all, I'll say a few practical things. It's not a time for preaching or for personal testimonies or for, how would I say it? Maybe a personal prayer that's not so relevant, but it is a time to really come before God as a body of believers together to pray for things, to pray for big things, and to believe him. I'd like to encourage you tonight. Maybe you're someone who struggles with reading your Bible. If you'd like to just get on your knees and maybe read your Bible the whole time, feel free. If you're someone who struggles with stillness, if you'd just like to make it a point that God would touch your heart and allow spiritual affections to awaken, just to quiet down and gaze upon him, please feel free to do so during this time. There's a verse in Psalm 66 that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, the Lord has heard me. Blessed be the Lord, for he has answered my prayer. If there's sin, if there's a lack of forgiveness, if there's a problem of defilement, a lust problems, secret things, pornography, pride, a driving spirit, this could be a wonderful time of confession. Because what could be better to enter into our confession, to enter into our convention than confessed sin and having a spirit that is unhindered to receive all that God would have for us to receive this week. So those are just some practical encouragements. I was thinking of Romans 8 and verse 5 in terms of this time of prayer and praise tonight, which says, for those who live according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. They set their affections on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their affections, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And it goes with Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you are then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. set your affections or set your minds on the spiritual things, on the heavenly things, because our life is hidden with Christ in God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord didn't reveal himself, if you remember, during the time of Elijah in the earthquake or in the whirlwind, but there was a still, small voice. And we know that it's the anxieties in our hearts that choke the word of God, that choke that plant from growing into fruition, from bearing fruit. This could be a wonderful time to just confess anxiety, to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And with that in mind, we might find ourselves ready for battle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Pastor Justin just explained it very well. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And further on in that passage, it talks about resisting Satan steadfastly in the faith and to continue praying with all prayer and supplication for all saints. I think we notice, many of us notice, the battle isn't getting easier, but the times are getting more intense. And therefore, it's not a time for carelessness. But I think it's a time to be sober and vigilant. Our adversary, the devil, what is he like? He's like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. So may we come before him tonight, in one sense with a light heart of great rejoicing, but in another sense with the seriousness and the urgency of the reality of hell. Men's lives are at stake. Ministries are at stake. Spiritual leaders are at stake. We will have a microphone here in the front. If you have a prayer to pray from your heart to God, I'm also happy to bring the microphone to you later on. We have many pastors, servants of God from around the world visiting, and I would encourage you to say a prayer. It would encourage our faith to hear you bring your request before the Lord. But once again, if you just like to be still tonight, if you just like to allow spiritual affections to awaken, maybe for the first time or maybe for the first time in a long time, please, please feel free. Heavenly Father, you lead us so well by your right hand that holds us. Please lead us in this season of prayer, this season of worship, this moment of adoration. Lord, we desire, just like Paul said, that the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our hearts would be flooded with light, that you'd show us what your call is all about, that you'd help us to understand the power of your resurrection and the riches that are found in the saints, Lord. Thank you for this glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for leading us on. We bless you.
Just a few thoughts that came to my mind as we are worshiping Christ and bringing our stuff before him. Dragging a king out of the cave and just saying, you know, the kings go running in the cave and you catch them, but it's not over. You have to kill them. You catch them and you kill them. And you might say, I did that when I first became a believer. God gave me victory over sins in my life, and I had this amazing victory. Now, years later, I don't have any kings anymore, but I want to suggest a few of them. All right. As I get older, do not get offended by what I'm saying, but I want to make you think with me. Because our churches around the world must be Spirit-filled. Our churches must be anointed. Our pastors must be anointed of God. The Bible has to be anointed of God, and the congregation has to be anointed of God. We are not here to entertain people. We are here to lead people to Christ. We are not here just to maintain, have the same old, for hundreds of years. Yeah, and the whole thing is just the same. It cannot be. It has to be God. Amen? All right, so I have to do some business sometimes with my flesh. I have to do some business, and I have to face it. Two categories, just to think about it, and then we can pray and worship, but I want you to think with me. As I get older, do I change? Naturally speaking. Spiritually, we grow in Christ. We hope so. What are we doing here if we are not? We are growing in Him. We are associated with Him. He's the head. We are the body. But He has things to say to us. And as you grow older and you get more vocal in your language about your opinions and you start to run things, then when you are confronted, you and I need to be humble and say, yes, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. I'm shooting off my mouth. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. I'm going to try to behave. I mean, you get older, you get opinionated about the carpet, the windows, the lighting, the songs, the people, this guy, that guy, the parking lot, the tires on the car. You get grumpy and opinionated and talking about everything and everywhere, and stop it. Stop it. Be that way, but don't. You go in the mirror in your bathroom at home and talk to yourself about it. But let God deal with you and fill you and become a sweet, humble, gracious, edifying, kind, sensitive, Spirit-filled man and woman. Amen? Amen. Okay, that's enough of that. Drag that guy out of the cave and say, you're history. Okay? All right, is that true? I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I know I'm saying something. Paul said, how about this one? You never hear this preached about then in the church. You don't want to hear it? Man, I don't even dare to say it. Let the women be quiet in the church, and when they got a question, they go home and ask their husbands. Why did he say that? Why did the Holy Spirit have that recorded in the Bible? I don't know, but I have seen it happen. I have. Women are not running the church. Holy Spirit is running the church, and God appointed apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and we are led by God. And I know that when the men fail, and we do, the women just want to rise up and just say, let's get this ship in order. Let's get things settled and get them straightened out. And I believe they have an amazing portion in helping us. But I'm also saying it as a man. I get loose with my mouth maybe. And I cannot afford to do that. We pray for each other. Isn't that good? Drag that guy by the hair right out of the cave, kicking and screaming. And say, come on. We're going to do progress, and we're going to make progress. The second category are the young people. The young people over there, young people over there, and the young people over. And this is what I want to say to you. Yeah, maybe your mom and dad have been in the church. Maybe your grandparents have been in the church, and now you are in the church. I have seen so many Spirit-filled young people get raised up by God and do an amazing job. We are so thankful. But I also want to say, You got to learn to get it on your own too. You have to learn to be alone and get it from God. You got to learn to seek God. We are with our friends, and that's amazing, but our friends may not be the answer for my spiritual life. Sometimes they are, but sometimes it's going to be me. And when the church gets in trouble, and sometimes churches get in trouble, and the leaders start fighting with each other, and there's a lot of carnality that happens, and young people are disappointed, and there's a lot of confusion, and a lot of pain happens, there has to be a remnant of people that'll say, we're going to pray and fast. We're going to seek God. God is going to visit us and heal us. It might take a year or 2 years, but we're going to seek God, and we're going to find God. Because young people, one day, the older people may fail. We hope not, and we don't plan to. But there needs to be men and women of God on every level. There has to be men and women of God all through the church that are learning how to find God on their own. And you got to drag out of the cave that little demon that's still living inside. He's inside and he's saying, well, we're still alive, guys. We're the kings. We're still alive. And I know when we get out, I can negotiate. I'm good at that. I can talk our way out of it. We can win. I got a castle full of gold. Before they could even open their mouths, their feet were on their necks, and it was history. Let's do that in these next songs. Meditate with me on it.